overseas, and found ourselves somewhat isolated and alone in a place where we didn't always understand the language. We had really few connections to people there. And so we found ourselves especially, like, it was difficult at holidays for sure. When you don't have any connections, you weren't sure exactly where to go, what do you do? And so Christmas was approaching, and a guy from our church named Reno invited us over for Christmas. Him and his two kids had us over, and man, if I could tell you about Reno, he is one of the most hospitable people I've ever met. Instantly welcomes you in and is just so, makes his home feel like your own. Like, you just instantly come in and feel at home. And even though we didn't belong, and it was obvious at times, there'd be other family members there, his family members that were there, and they're having conversations in languages we don't understand, and we're just kind of going, uh-huh, like, trying to stick with it and understanding bits and pieces. But man, he was always so considerate of us to loop us in on what's going on, or bring it back to English so that we could be a part of the conversations. But even after that, he would always invite us over for Christmases and holidays and celebrations. And I don't know that moving there, we even knew that we needed a Reno in our life. I don't know that we understood that we had this gap of somebody that was missing until we were there. But I'm so thankful that Reno stepped into our lives when we needed it, and he filled the gap. I don't know if you've ever had that moment in your life where you feel that there's a gap, there's an empty space of somebody that's needed in your own life. And as the church as a whole, we have that same thing, that we can have gaps and spaces and places that we need people to fill in where there may be a lack. And I believe that's because that gap is there, because we're still waiting for somebody to step into those spaces. We've been walking through the book of 1 Corinthians for quite some time, and we're now up to chapter 12 is where we've landed for this week. And this week we're going to be kind of looking at what some of these spiritual gifts look like and how God has gifted us in different ways and how we can step into some of these gaps that there may be, because those gaps are there for us to step into as a member of the body. So the gifts that we get from God are meant to glorify God and to unite the church as a whole for its good. So we're going to see today, hopefully, how we can embrace our unique roles within the body of Christ. So before we step into all of that, let's pray. God, I thank you for everybody that's here, that's willing to come and to learn and to grow and to be side by side with us. God, would you open our hearts to hear from your word today, to see how you might be calling us and gifting us to be a part of the body. And God, help us to have eyes to see where those things are needed, that we can follow your calling. God, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So very first thing, as we talk about embracing this unique role within the body of Christ, is that gifts are given for a purpose. That there is purpose behind all of it. All the spiritual gifts that God has given have a purpose, and he has a plan for them, why he gives them, and to whom he's giving them to. So we're going to start by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 7 is where we'll be. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit ever says that Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit through the common gift." Paul's addressing the church here, and he's saying that maybe in their ignorance or confusion, or maybe even in their past life, they've had some strange beliefs that maybe they've even reverted back to. But Paul's reminding them of this new life that they're meant to live. That they used to worship other idols, they used to live according to the world, and even maybe even feeling spiritual in what they were doing, even even though they were false. But now they're supposed to take this inventory of how this Spirit-filled life is different, and how God is working in and through them by His grace. And it's backed with real power, not like he said, talking like a mute idol that has no power to do anything. But instead, there's grace-given gifts that God gives us with power. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand that somehow a gift is going to be given that's undeserved. Because I think so many times our gifts that we receive, they come from something. That you graduate from high school or college and you've achieved something, and so you get a gift for an achievement. Or you've had a wedding, anniversary, birthday, it's given as an accomplishment for your next stage, another year that you've made it. Or even sometimes at Christmas time, the gifts are given and we're even told it's based on naughty or nice. Like, you know, what is it for? But truly, this is meant to be a gift that is something to honor you, not because it's earned or deserved, but it's because God is good. Not us that's good, but in His goodness, He gives good gifts. It says that there's a variety of the gifts and services and activities, but all in the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, who gives them all to us for the common good. There's that pattern of variety, but the same. It's the variety of gifts that are given, and maybe even how they're acted upon in service, the manner that they're used, but it's all through the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. And so we kind of see this picture of the unity of the Trinity as an example for us that we're meant to be united within our gifts that God gives us. That they're given to us by God's grace, different members and roles, but united as one. It says that God empowers all these gifts in everyone. These are God-given gifts, but they're given to all Christ followers. So don't discredit yourself. And I think too often, I think we can think that we come on a Sunday to maybe soak up God's word, that this is just a time of input only, that I'm just going to take and absorb a lot of things. And it's good to come in to learn and to grow, to be encouraged through our time together, but you are empowered by God to use a gift, that there is a spiritual output on the other side as well. That if we have a gift, and maybe even more than one, what would it look like if we were to then use these gifts to jump out and to begin to serve? And if all of us did that, to say, I'm going to see needs in my community. I'm going to see needs of the church, and we say we want to rally together and to provide for those needs. We could change a lot of our community, our whole area, our state, if we would take our God-given gifts and serve faithfully. So let me encourage you, if you've never taken a spiritual gifts test, there is one at this crazy website called spiritualgiftstest.com. If you go to something like that, it kind of helps you walk through like how you're wired and just what maybe how God has best set you up to serve a God-given gift so that you can reach out and like begin to put that into action so that you can serve within the church or within the community around you. Because it's important for us to see the gifts that we have that God has empowered within us so that we can then use them for the common good. They're meant to build up the church. So God's intentions that those gifts would glorify Him, but unite us together as we serve. So verses 8 through 11 kind of talk through a list, not an exclusive list, but there are other places in the Bible that talk about spiritual gifts, but it talks specifically about some. It talks about the gift of wisdom and knowledge, which tend to be similar. That wisdom is going to be is the wisdom of revealing divine truth. It's going to make the way of salvation clear, and also knowledge is to use some of that knowledge and wisdom to be able to share godly wisdom and how to maybe handle specific situations. They seem very similar to like King Solomon. The King Solomon asked God for wisdom and he became a great judge. He was able to speak truth and to speak wisdom into hard situations that caused conflict. But he gave wisdom that cut through all of the facade of everything and really got to the heart of the issue. There's also, it talks about the gift of faith. And this is not the saving faith, but this is extra God-given faith. And these are the people that you probably are aware of that are around you that know that God can do big and great things. And And so when we talk about a big project, you know, I mean, they'd be the ones saying, hey, it's too full in here. Let's build a new sanctuary. They're like, let's just do it. God can do big stuff. What are we waiting on? And they're the ones that are ready to go. They may not have a spreadsheet of how that's going to get done, but they're like, don't worry about it. God's got it. But people that have this faith are ready to say, I know God can do great things. Why would we ever stop small? Let's go big and let God show up. Then it talks about the gift of healing, that through the New Testament, even the apostles healed people, and not every time, but they would usually see them plead with God, to pray with God that he would answer and heal these people. And also the gift of miracles, that similar though that to healing, that God can do some big and great things. And we see times in life that God intervenes, but it seems to be that as people prayed, that God would step in and intervene in those situations. And we're told that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective in James. And I'm always cautious with some of these things too, because we can see the ways that sometimes gifts can be abused or twisted. And I'm also always cautious to say that we weigh all of these things against God's word, that we never want to twist them, but I also don't want to shortcut what God is capable of doing. God is capable of doing big things. And I don't want to let the way that people have abused gifts somehow cut God short. It also talks about the gift of prophecy. This would be inspired speaking of God's word that would edify and encourage, comfort, and even confront us with the purpose of drawing people close to God and to help turn them from their sins. It talks about the gift of having the ability to distinguish between spirits, to be able to discern in teaching and the power if this is from God or if this is from the power of other sorts of spirits that are against God. And it also talks about the gifts of speaking in various tongues and the interpretation of tongues. The God-given ability to be able to speak in the language of another person to enable them to proclaim the gospel that they might be able to understand, to translate or interpret the message, to be able to believe the gospel message. All of these gifts are powered by one, given to each one individually according to your giving and attendance record. Right? No. I know some of you guys are like, hold on a second. I'm just seeing if you're with me. No, all of these are given by God, and they're given according to his will. Because I think, man, I've been told this at times when I was younger, that if I wanted to receive these gifts, there were certain things I had to do. I needed to earn this for myself. This specifically says this is as God wills. This is not earned or deserved. That's why I keep saying it's a grace-given gift according to God's will, not by me earning it. So there are many different beliefs on the gifts, how you get them, what they mean, do we still have them? And we can debate those things all day long. Did you notice that within the list of spiritual gifts was not a strongly worded email or, you know, things like that? But we can debate that all day long, and I think it misses the point of what all of this is about. Because all of this about gifts has a purpose. That it's to glorify God and it's to unite the church. And if we're to sit here and debate and discuss and write those strongly worded emails, that only divides. Our gifts are meant to unite us. And there's diversity within these gifts, but it's also meant to bring unity within the body of Christ. So while we're all using these gifts, we have to understand that we are different in our giftings. And that even though they're different, that diversity can come with its own struggles, but they're still meant to be united. So let's keep reading verses 12 through 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So with this diversity, I think we can marvel at the fact that it's very beautiful when we embrace it well. That in moments there are people that are not like us, that they are a part of the body. And I think sometimes we can let diversity divide us. That's not hard to see. We tend to flock toward people that are like us because we understand them, they get us. But we aren't meant to consist of one member. There's supposed to be many members that are part of the body. And when others are not like us, it means when I'm weak, you're strong. And when I just don't understand the situation, somehow it makes sense to you. God has arranged all the members of the body, each one as he chose. And you might think that there is someone you just don't understand. They drive you crazy. They might be sitting in the aisle with you. I don't know. But that person might be a part of God's plan to live out their gifting within the body to strengthen you. And then they might need you as well. A long time ago, years ago, I took a youth group trip out to Colorado, and we were looking for some extra sponsors, and I had asked this lady, Miss Terry, if she would join with us on this, going on this trip. To which she responded to me, "I think high schoolers are terrifying." And she didn't want to do it. She loved little kids. She did preschool stuff all the time. But man, she said, "High schoolers are terrifying." But she's like, "If you really need me, I'll go." And there were times I didn't always understand Miss Terry. If you've done the Myers-Briggs personality assessment, there's the thinker-feeler kind of thing. So I tend to be a thinker. Give me all the facts and things. Miss Terry was on the far extreme of feeler. And oftentimes I'm like, she has all the feelings, and I have like two. And she would be feeling all these things, and it would often, I didn't always understand Miss Terry. But man, she was amazing, because one day as we get to this conference, it's 2021, the speaker gets up and says, "Man, aren't you guys glad 2020 is over and that we get to gather back together?" And I just was thinking of all of the hardships that had been of 2020 and COVID, and just thought, yes, I'm glad it's over and that we can be here. And Miss Terry just quietly gets up, walks over to a student, puts her arm around her, and sits with her. Because here I am, not even thinking, over the past year, Katie's lost her dad in the middle of COVID. And because Miss Terry is a feeler, she not only feels for herself, she feels for everyone. In that moment, she felt for Katie. And I needed that, because I would have missed the moment. Within the body, we have many members. And as different as they are, they're needed. Not just because they need to be like us, we all need to be like Christ. We're meant to be different. So like verse 17 points out, it would be ridiculous if the whole body were to be an eye, or if the whole body were to be an ear. This is an image of a whole body, a person being an eyeball. It makes you just think of Monsters, Inc., you know, Mike Wazowski, the giant green eyeball looking thing. It's like, it's ridiculous, right? That's kind of what is kind of pictured here, is that if the whole body were to be an eye, it'd be ridiculous. We have other needs. We need all of the parts of the body. We need this diversity within the body of Christ, because if this eye or ear is missing, it means the church is missing a part. That we're missing the sense of smell or the sense of sight, because we don't have that person, that member, as a part of the body. So as different as they might be, we need to be reminded that they are a part, a vital part of the body, and we're to be united. It talks about the body needing to be united, and that's why you might get tired of us talking about our mission and vision at Journey, that we're here to help people find, follow, and be like Jesus, and we want to help make disciples that go on to make more disciples. And there's a reason that we say this constantly, that we want you to leave here having that ingrained in your head, because you are a specific and we are a diverse group of people that are all working united together. So as we leave here and we go out to go do our ministry, with our giftings as different as we might be, we all have to be headed in one direction with the same purpose in mind. We have to function still as one. And so we talk about this all the time because that's what keeps us focused on what we're doing. And we might say, well, what if I don't like the way that other people are doing it? What if I don't like the way that they do it? What if they're missing things? Maybe you sit here on a Sunday and you think, man, there's stuff that's fallen through the cracks. There's stuff that we miss. Or what about this person? Who's gonna connect with this person? Who's gonna help them to grow in their love for Christ? Maybe that gap is there because that's where you're meant to be. Maybe you need to step in and live out your gifting in line with the mission of the body of Christ. And maybe you see those needs well because that's the way you're built. And we need you to step into those things. We also remember that all members are crucial and they're not to be cast aside. We can't discredit others or wish to just toss away a member of the body because we don't see their value or think that they're just too different from the way that we do things. But you also can't discredit yourself in the mission either. So we'll read verses 21 to 26. It says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there would be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together." Each member of the body is designed to be within the body. And I know that there are many people that have been hurt by the church or by the body of Christ and sadly are uninterested in being a part of it. And they don't want to be united. But the body was designed for all parts to be present and functioning. And the parts were never then meant to live alone on their own. Without the whole body, you're disconnected and you would die. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are purposed to be united with the body and to live out your God-given purpose within it. We cannot throw out those parts thinking them unnecessary, but you also cannot throw out the whole body, minus yourself, and say that it's not necessary. We were all meant to live united as the body of Christ. So what if you say, I don't see my gift right now? Or you can just simply think, I'll never be up on stage. I'll never want to speak. I don't sing. I don't play an instrument. Or even on the other side, you go, man, there's no way I'm in the back end of this church wrangling up 13 nursery kids. You go, maybe I don't think that there's a place for me. You need to hear that you are uniquely and perfectly equipped by God, and you are critically needed within the body of Christ, even if you do not see your purpose yet. It might be a conversation of encouragement that you have with somebody here on a Sunday morning. The way that you greet somebody that's new to journey, you see your own neighbor come in, and you are excited to see them. You tell them they're glad you're here, and it can make a kingdom impact because you welcome them in. Or it's a conversation with a neighbor kid as you're going to get the mail, that you're just kind and encouraging. You give an invitation for VBS or to, like, come back to Sunday school this next year as we get going. They end up bringing the whole family with them that year, and it begins their own family journey to find, follow, and be like Jesus because you reached out to a kid while getting the mail. And that seems ridiculous. It sounds crazy. But Mary Moon invited a young girl to come to Sunday school once. And Mary Moon took her to church because her parents did not go. And so she went to church and it began this journey of finding out who Jesus is. So then she continues to grow in her love for Christ and follows after him. And my mom is different today because Mary Moon invited my mom to go to Sunday school as a little kid. My life is different because Mary Moon invited my mom to go to Sunday school. that might seem like the smallest, silliest thing to say, I'm going to the mail, and I invite a kid to Sunday school. It might change the spiritual trajectory of generations to come, because you encourage people to come be a part of the body. Maybe it's your generosity. As Craig even talked about, some different needs to support ministries that are happening here at Journey. Maybe it's that you have the means to be able to do that, and that it might seem like not much, but it's through that giving that you support different ministries that are happening here within Wayne, or even at the college, or that happen even around the world, as you support people that take missions trips or go to CIY that changes a student's life. It might not seem like much to you, but it might make a kingdom impact. You don't have to be on a stage or have a title to think that the ministry that you do is valuable, because these are God-given gifts that He puts here so that we do not lack. Church, I want you to hear that God has given you your gifting so that we don't lack you. We need you functioning within the body of Christ. We have to keep ourselves united in purpose, realizing that others around us, they need to know their own function and be able to function with us. It also says that when we mourn the parts, we mourn with the other parts of the body that suffer and hurt. If you've ever injured a part, you hurt your knee, all of a sudden you start limping, and your hip starts hurting because you're limping so much, and everything starts hurting because the one part hurts. We as a body suffer together. It says we grieve together. That grief is actually a team sport. Probably not one that everybody wants to sign up for, but it's meant to be a team sport, that you suffer with those who suffer. You mourn with the body. You should be by their side to take care of them in their time of need. And it might, be something so simple as saying you sign up to take a meal during a meal train to help support and encourage somebody in their time of need. It's showing up to the hospital when a life group member that is hurt or sick or in the hospital, you show up to be by their side. But in the same way, celebration is a team sport. And I love them when we get to celebrate together. That when we have baptisms, there's maybe nothing better to see everybody unite, to jump to their feet, to celebrate with somebody that's saying, I want to change my life. I'm going to submit my life to Christ, to put my old body aside and to live new again, clothed in Christ. I love that we celebrate together. Or when we celebrate when our youth group goes to CIY, and I've seen people show up to a simple breakfast meal out there, and man, you generously give because we are excited for what God is doing within our youth. We live our lives together because we understand that we are helping people find, follow, and be like Jesus. And we do that within our gifts that God has given us and our role within the body of Christ. So as the band comes back up, let me encourage you that we're talking about embracing your own role within the body. Can I just say that we need you? We need you living out your function here within the body of Christ. And even if it's not here, we're talking the body of Christ as a whole, not just Journey, but we need you here. If you're new to Journey, or even you've been coming here for a while and you don't know where maybe your place is yet, can I just give the shameless plug? You can scan that QR code that's in the seat back pocket in front of you. We have a whole pathway of connections that you can follow there. Everything from starting point table that we have out here. If you don't want to face somebody, which our people out there are super friendly. You should go have a conversation with them. Take a goodie bag. We're glad that you're here. But you can fill out a connect card on there, and it will help you get connected. We'd love to be able to follow up with you and have a conversation about maybe how you can live out this gifting and how God has put passions on your heart, and we can put that into practice even here at Journey. Maybe it's about serving in some way, and again, this is all within this QR code thing. Maybe it's about serving, that you're saying, I want to jump in and I want to help serve. There's a place to do that there. Maybe you say, I want to get connected within a life group. Maybe you feel convicted that you want to be leading a life group. Maybe it's about how you can support the ministries of Journey, or even about the missions that we support. You want to know about how are we reaching outside our walls that we reach further. You can check that all out there through that place. It's a great place to be able to connect and a good place to start. We would love to follow up with you if you go there. But I also want to say, maybe it's so simple as getting to know somebody that's new here at Journey. Or you've been sitting next to them for the last couple months and you're like, I still don't know their name yet. Would you be bold today and go introduce yourself? To make that connection, because we're a part of the body and we're functioning together. Would you just introduce yourself? Maybe even invite them out to Fiesta Brava. I would love it if we just like somehow, this is not like a sponsored thing, or we don't. All of a sudden, we've just got like Fiesta packed out because all of a sudden we just said, yeah, I want to know the body better. I want to understand who we are as a whole, and I want to encourage somebody else around me today. And so you go ahead, just head to lunch just so you can have encouragement, and maybe it's even mourning with somebody that's going through hard things. Because I think when we boldly step out to live our gifting as God has given us, when we do that as the people of God, the community around us will see it. They will see us functioning better, and they will see what Christ looks like because we're living out this God, grace-given gift from God. So I want to encourage you to embrace your unique gifts for God's glory and be united in your purpose. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the ways that you give us these gifts so that we can work at bringing more people in. And God, that we would maybe even reflect you better, that as a part of the body, people would get to know a glimpse of you because they see you in and through us. So God, would you help us to be bold, to step out knowing that we are needed here. And God, that we would live out the